From the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Right now in KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, firefighters are racing to contain a fire in Monterey County. Plus, parts of the Bay Area are dealing with high wind warnings this morning. When it's expected to end.
Stop the violence, please. Please stop the violence.
An emotional plea from an Oakland mother after her son was shot and killed apparently at random, her message this morning. We'll get to those stories in just a moment, but we start with breaking news out of Japan. A magnitude 6.6 earthquake hit South Japan. So far, 13 people are reported to be injured. That includes two people in their 80s who were seriously hurt. There are reports of damage to buildings and roads and infrastructure like water pipes. Right now, there is no threat of a tsunami. Well, good morning. It is Saturday, January 22nd. I'm Devin Feely. Now to our other top stories. We start this morning with a growing wildfire along the Big Sur coast. Cal Fire says the Colorado fire grew to 1,500 acres overnight. That forced evacuations in the area. The blaze broke out around 7:15 last night in the Palo Colorado Canyon, a few miles north of Big Sur. The flames jumped Highway 1 late last night. Now that road is shut down in both directions between Big Sur and Carmel. And here's a view from a PG&E wildfire camera a few hours earlier. The Red Cross has opened an emergency shelter at Carmel Middle School. Evacuations are underway for residents living along Palo Colorado Road east of Highway 1. Right now, those strong gusting winds that we experienced yesterday have not settled down yet. The National Weather Service has a high wind warning in effect until later today. The strongest winds are expected at the highest elevations. This massive tree came crashing down on Friday in San Jose, crushing several cars and knocking out power to the neighborhood. It happened along North 17th Street near the intersection with Julian. Neighbors say it's a busy road typically, but luckily no one was around when that tree came down. Let's get a better look at what's going on with all that wind with meteorologist Darren Pack.
Devin, two important ways to kind of separate the advisories that we've got for wind right now. It is windy in the mountains, and there is a high wind warning up there, and it's basically for the North Bay Mountains, and this is going to go until 11 o'clock this morning. Notice it does not include the valleys. We're only talking about 40 to 50, maybe even higher gusts up in the mountains, and even though the map is shaded in red, it's not a red flag warning. In other words, the red flag warning would be specific to fire weather concern. This is simply a high wind warning, meaning the winds are strong, but the humidity levels and the landscape should be able to handle that, and it's not a significant fire threat, but still a concern. Now we're going to change the map, and here's where we have a wind advisory. The important thing on the wind advisory is it does not include any of the locations down in the lower elevations where the overwhelming majority of us live. This doesn't include the Tri-Valley, the East Bay shoreline, but it does include the mountains. And it's just a little lighter here. So this goes till 7 o'clock in the morning. We could see gusts to 40 miles an hour in the mountains around the Diablo Valley and the Tri-Valley. And if we watch what happens on the winds, here's the good news locally. Right now, we do have gusts hitting 40 to 50 miles an hour in the mountains. You can see that from Mount St. Helena. But as we play this ahead, really once we go through the day, the winds today are really going to calm down. So good news on the wind forecast. I'll have the rest of our forecast coming up in a bit, but in light of the fire burning down in Big Sur, this is the primary concern at the moment. I'll see you with the whole forecast in a few minutes, Devin. Back over to you.
All right, thanks, Darren. Oakland police say a gunman randomly killed a man and later shot at firefighters at a nearby fire station without any apparent provocation. We're hearing from the mother of the victim. KPIX's Dahlin spoke to her at a candlelight vigil last night.
Community members, family, and friends celebrating the life of Ronald Sander Jr. Police say he was shot and killed in front of his house.
He was just standing out. He just came home and
he just got off of work talking to his cousin.
Yeah. Family members say a man walked up to Ronald Sanders Jr. and shot him. Ronald's mom, Denise Carter, says the community support is keeping her strong.
I'm still in shock. I'm numb.
Investigators believe the Thursday night killing in West Oakland was random. They say the victim and the suspect did not know each other. Neighbors tell police the gunman was walking in the middle of Center Street and screaming he was going to shoot someone. A short time later, he came across Ronald and shot him.
This is a senseless act of violence.
The gunman kept on walking. Half a block later, police say he saw two firefighters outside of a fire station. They were in a city-owned SUV. Police say without provocation, the gunman fired four shots into the SUV. Luckily, the bullets did not hit the firefighters.
What may have set him off, and I truly don't have an answer for that.
Police arrested the suspect, 50-year-old William Hopti, an hour later. They say Hopti was convicted of manslaughter for a 1996 killing that happened two blocks away from Thursday's homicide.
I watched his blood turn from red to black.
Oakland Councilwoman Carol Fife organized the vigil. She heard the gunshots on Thursday and ran over to try to help Ronald. She says a homeless woman was grazed by a bullet but declined medical attention.
Person to have contact with firearms, why is he roaming the street? Did he need mental health services? Should he been under the care of a psychiatric physician? Like, I have so many questions.
Denise forgives the suspect but wants accountability and justice for her son.
In order to move forward, I have to forgive. You have to do that. And I don't want to walk around holding grudges.
Police say the suspect admitted to being involved in the crime. He's set to appear in court next week facing homicide charges. I'm Don Lynn, KPIX 5.
Oakland police say Thursday night's killing was the city's eighth homicide of the year. We have new video this morning from Fremont after a bizarre crash involving a suspected car thief. Now, thanks to some Good Samaritans, that suspect is now in jail. Police say the man stole a car, then returned to that neighborhood hours later. Witnesses say he drove recklessly in a parking lot, hit several parked cars, and then crashed into a tree. Bystanders say they held him down until the police officers were able to arrive. Also in Fremont, friends, family, and community members gathered at a candlelight vigil to remember Michelle Goh.
But I want to remind people that Michelle stood for love. And that's the most important word here today.
The 40-year-old grew up in Fremont and lived in Manhattan. She died last Saturday after she was pushed in front of a subway train at the Times Square station in New York. A close family friends had a message from her parents.
They don't want people to focus on how she died and the tragedy around that. They want people to focus about how she lived, what she lived for, some of the things that she was doing in the community.
She led a life of service. She, in her spare time, she was volunteering to help at-risk women and children and people experiencing homelessness. And she's really an example of what we all need to be, you know, to serve our community in the best way we can.
A 61-year-old man is in jail charged with second-degree murder for allegedly pushing Goh to her death. On the coronavirus front, starting today, Santa Clara County will give out 60,000 free at-home COVID test kits. Residents are required to schedule an appointment online before picking them up. The kits will be handed out at four drive-up locations. Each household can receive up to four kits. The giveaway program runs through January 30th. And in Oakland, teachers are threatening to take a strike vote if they don't reach a new COVID safety deal. Teachers are demanding weekly testing in all schools, high-grade masks, and coverage for every classroom vacancy. Many students have also been staying at home in protest. They're demanding a temporary return to online learning, more testing, masks, and outdoor eating spaces on campus. Now, the district tells us it's reached eight safety agreements with the union over the course of the pandemic, and meetings are scheduled to discuss a new deal. A live look at the state capitol, where debate got underway on Friday about legislation to enable some children to get a COVID vaccine without their parents' permission. State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco introduced the bill. It would apply to kids between the ages of 12 and 17. That age group can already choose without parental consent to get vaccinated against HPV and hepatitis B.
Many of them do want to be vaccinated, but sometimes their parents don't let them be vaccinated, and sometimes parents are just not prioritizing taking them to be vaccinated.
These are conversations that should happen between parents and their kids, and not to sort of isolate them and make this sort of a conversation that happens with the school nurse.
Several other states in Washington, D.C. already allow minors to get vaccines without parental consent. Taking a live look at San Jose, where this morning the Sharks are teaming up with Stanford Blood Center for a public blood drive. It starts at 7:30 a.m. at the North Concourse entrance to the SAP Center. Each donor will be entered into a drawing, and dozens will win free Sharks tickets. An update on San Francisco's newest light rail line this morning. The word is testing on the Central Subway is going well. Central Muni's Central Subway will take riders from south of Market through Union Square and into Chinatown. Now, that project is years behind schedule and millions of dollars over budget. The director of the SFMTA blames the trouble on the boring phase and then construction delays due to COVID. But as of now, all systems are a go.
The good news is that all of the systems right now are under testing. The testing is going well. We're currently looking at revenue service in October, but the trains are running every day. We're needing to test the train control system, make sure that it is flawless and ready to safely carry people from Chinatown to Union Square to Moscone and all the way down to southeastern San Francisco.
Now, meantime, Muni is looking to bounce back from reduced schedules due to COVID. The agency hopes to resume service on all Muni lines in March.